All right, welcome back to Shakedown Shan. I know last week was a little rocky, but you know, I didn't have my laptop charged for some reason, and I thought it was, and then we had updating issues and technical difficulties with my computer, but we're here this week because we get content out every week because we have listeners. You know what? I had I looked at analytics, and I had another person from Korea listening within the last 7 days, and so that's pretty awesome. I mean, I had a whole bunch from the U.S. like always, but I had two Korean listeners, and another one jumped in, and so that's really awesome. I don't know how they heard about us, but they did, and so that's great. So anyway, like always, I have a whole bunch of topics to talk about, and something came up today that I saw that kind of took precedent over all the plans that I had. And it has to do with public housing and the homeless. And it actually has to pertain to New York. So I found something that came up on my laptop today that was about the rising new housing movement that wants to create homes for all. And as my views go on, like, housing for people, I mean, if you create public housing for people that's free and low income, that just drives up the cost of housing for the people that pay for housing. It's all about supply and demand. If you create free housing and public housing for people, what does that do to the people that actually pay for it? And that makes rent outrageous. And so you have these people protesting and demanding public housing and demanding housing, free housing for low-income families. And I mean, I understand. I completely understand, because like, I come from, part of my family is low income and had to use public housing, and I come from that side of the family. I'm not like completely disheartened to you guys. I know what it feels like to have struggles when it comes to housing, but I mean, if you're trying to house your children, you do whatever it takes to put a roof over their heads. And if that means working six jobs, that means working six jobs. And you don't sit there and demand other people pay your housing. And when you're saying I need public housing, that means you take money from other taxpayers and demand their money go to your housing. And I don't think that's right. I don't think it's right to demand to steal money from other people out of their paychecks every week that could go to their families that they probably need. Because like I've said before, taxes come from the middle class. They don't come from the high class, because the high class people find ways out of taxes. The people that pay taxes are middle class families that need that money to go to their families. And so you're demanding money out of these families to your own family. And It's just not right that you're demanding free housing out of these people that can barely afford their own mortgages every single week, money taken out of their paycheck, and you're saying that they should pay for your own housing for your family. No, go to charities, create a fundraiser. There's other ways to get money. Like, you know how Facebook, every time your birthday comes around, they say, why don't you donate to a non-profit charity? When my birthday came around, I decided to donate to the NEDA, the National Eating Disorder Awareness. And my goal was $200. I raised, I think, $285 just asking people to donate, and they donated whatever they could because I shared my story, just a little bit, not all of it, just even just a little bit of my story. And people were charitable, like people I didn't even think were charitable donated. And then a few weeks later, one of my best friends who also struggles from eating disorders decided to do that birthday fundraiser through Facebook. And she has already raised $60. Mm-hmm. And like every single dollar counts. So like if you have something going on, you do a fundraiser, you ask people to help you out. People are charitable, whether you think they are or they're not. And you don't just go to the government and demand to steal money from people. And that's what these people are doing. So anyway, a big thing that I have to talk about is gun control, which you already know my ideas on. I am against gun control, obviously. I think if you want guns, you should be able to have them, as long as you can responsibly use them. You know, the non-aggression principle. You don't aggress against other people. You don't promote violence against other people. You use your guns responsibly. So I do have some stuff on that. I do have stuff on the housing movement, which came up today, actually. So it's a brand new thing that I wasn't even thinking I was talking about today, but it came up and I just had to share it with you guys. And then I hopefully can get to socialism and the youth. And this goes to the election passed, where we have Bernie Sanders, and why so many of the youth were going towards Bernie Sanders, because Bernie Sanders, he stands for socialism. I mean, if you look at most of his promises, programs, he is all socialism. And I want to talk about why the youth is drawn to that. It's a very important topic, and it's not even really their fault. They've just born into this culture from the baby boomers. And not a lot of people like to look at that aspect or like to realize that that's an aspect to the issue. And then hopefully I've been trying to get a little bit of positivity in here for you guys, because you know how I am about positivity. And I've been trying to add that in, but the last few episodes have been super, super, super heavy on politics. And so I've been learning a lot about sunflowers, because they're my favorite flowers. And I've been learning how to grow the tallest flowers, sunflowers. And I want to share that with you guys. And I'm going to do that towards the end. And if you're just here for politics, you can cut out as soon as I talk about politics, or as soon as I talk about sunflowers and end the politics. But if you're interested in sunflowers, please keep listening, because they're my favorite flowers, and I learned some really interesting facts, and I'm really excited to start a sunflower garden because they make me happy.
What do you do with the seeds?
I'm going to talk about that.
Okay.
But there's birds really like sunflower seeds. They're really tasty, and you know, we like them as humans, little league players, baseball players, regular people, we like sunflower seeds. There's a market for it. Yes, and so you plant sunflowers and they just get eaten away. So I have some tips for you if you're trying to plant sunflowers and how to get them to grow the tallest that they can be. So first of all, let's just start off with, there was another school shooting today. Either Illinois or Indiana.
It
started with an I. It was Indiana. Mm-hmm. It didn't get nearly as much press as Texas. That's why I don't know if it's Illinois or Indiana. There was a Facebook Live video for Texas, and there was a Facebook Live for the recent school shooting. You said Illinois, right?
Indiana.
Mm-hmm. See? I still don't know. It didn't get as much press as Indiana. For. It just came up today, and it's just something that I decided to throw to you guys. So I don't know all the facts. I don't know any of the facts, really, because it just happened today. I mean, you got to give the news some time. You got to give research some time. So I really can't look into it for a little while and give you some real facts and something to debate about that. But, I mean, the Texas school shooting was last week. It came out when I was at work and I had a little free lull, and all of a sudden I got on Facebook and I saw it happening and people were evacuating the school, and like it got complete Facebook live coverage, like live video coverage. Okay, so these shooters are getting live coverage. What makes you think they don't want to do it again to get live coverage? I mean, that's just one aspect. But so anyway, I mean, you know how we stand on gun control. I mean, we have a Second Amendment. We have the right to bear arms. And I don't think that amendment should be disrupted at all. We have the right to bear arms because there's a potential that our central government could get out of control. And we have the right to bear arms in case that happens. We can go against them. I mean, do you not know what the Revolutionary War was about? We took over and we won against a government that was trying to take us hostage. And we won our independence from them. That's why we have the Second Amendment, in case that ever happens again. And that's not... what's the word for it? That's not, inconceivable. No, that's not the word. That could happen.
Unconceivable.
Definitely happen again. And, so we need to have the right in place and, ready for us to use in case it ever happens again, which, it definitely could happen again. I wouldn't put it against government to happen again because absolute power corrupts absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's always stuck with me through schooling. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And as soon as you give away your rights to the state, they can take those rights and use them against you.
Well, I mean, there's two things I want to talk to you about that. Samuel Jackson, the actor, who I don't respect at all because of his political views, but he is not for gun control, and he carries a gun with him, and he says everybody should be able to protect their person and property. And he said, and he would not hesitate to defend his property, which I think is the reason, basically, for hunting and, you know, personal protection. But the thing is, here in Saratoga, they had a successful gun show for 20 years, two times a year. Actually, this weekend is the last one, because our Democratic council decided, as a knee-jerk reaction to the Parkland shooting, that they would eliminate the gun show. And
knee-jerk.
There was, what's that? Knee-jerk.
Knee-jerk.
That's
hate
right.
Those.
And there was a congresswoman a few years ago, Gabby. Gosh, I can't.
Notice my hiccups went away.
I know they did. I told you
they disappeared. Would. They disappeared. Guys, I had hiccups right before the show, and they wouldn't go away. And now they're gone.
See that? And you were gonna
I
do
came
the show
by,
with
Vinny.
Them. Gabby Gifford, who was from Arizona, I think. She was a congresswoman, and someone attempted to assassinate her. She got shot in the face, and her husband was an astronaut. Well, she came to the Saratoga Gun Show a couple years ago, and she said it was one of the best-run shows, and that the gentleman who, his name, last name's Patronus, who ran the gun show for 20 years, followed every rule to the letter of the law. And here, just because somebody did some shooting, our Democratic council says
he gets
no
his
more
rights
gun
taken
show
away.
On city property. So
exactly.
His rights and the rights of people who wanted to go to a gun show. Now, the caveat to this is they will allow a gun show, but the guns have to be made before 1900. So you can have a gun show with muzzle-loading guns only. So you can fire one shot. It doesn't make sense to me at all. All right? So I just don't understand how these people are reacting to cases like this without getting to the root cause, that this was a seventh grader that was in class, asked to be excused, came back with two handguns and started shooting.
See, this is where I solely believe that it's not a gun problem. It's a people problem. You're always going to have bad people. And how do you stop bad people from doing bad things? You can't. I mean, there's sometimes, I'm not going to say always, because sometimes you really just don't see the signs. Sometimes there's not signs. Like, people, I'm even going to put this into, like, mental disorder things. You don't see that there's signs of a mental disorder. You don't see signs of depression sometimes. And it's just a fact. Sometimes you don't see them. They don't show them because they repress them. And there are bad people in the world. And how are you going to take the rights of individual people away in order to protect from the possibility of bad people abusing those rights? You can't do that.
These students that are shooting really had talked about it with other students, but they didn't believe it. They mm-hmm. didn't believe they would do anything like that. And then before you know it, the kid comes in and starts shooting up the place. Well, if they had reported that, you know, maybe they could have gotten them to a doctor or a counselor. But it's, you know, and it's bad. Sometimes it's bad parenting.
It is bad parenting. You know what I said about CPS last week?
Yeah.
You're just not allowed to discipline your kids. I mean, I believe in non-aggression and positive reinforcements, but you know, that's my style of mm-hmm. parenting. It doesn't work for every single parent on the earth. You know, sometimes a kid needs a little tap on the butt. Not anything that hurts them, not anything that leaves a mark, and I'm not advocating for spanking your child, but, I mean, some kids need discipline, and that's not what I do with my child, but, I mean, I'm not to parent for your child's needs. That's totally up to you, and it's not up to me, and it's not up to the state. If it becomes a matter of child abuse, that's a different discussion. Mm-hmm. But like, when it comes to parenting, that's different than child abuse. There's a line. There's yeah. definitely a line. And child abuse is one thing, and discipline is another thing.
Now, if you had four guns around the house because you were a hunter or you target practiced, wouldn't you tell Noah or teach him about guns so
I would
he would
teach
be respectful?
Him, yes, he would definitely be respectful. I mean, I grew up around guns. I grew up with my dad having an unlocked gun cabinet. He had guns, and I knew where they were, and it was unlocked. It was easily accessible. I never touched them because it's what he used for hunting, to get deer, to get food, to something that I never knew how to use, so I wasn't going to touch it. He told me it was something you had to learn how to use. And, like, as I got older, I learned archery, which I just saw the other day that now liberals are trying to blame archery on violence. And you know what? Noah is going to learn archery this summer. You can't blame archery on gun violence. You can't do that. There's no correlation. Mm-hmm. Archery is all about skill, and practice, and it has nothing to do with violence. If anything, it has to do with survival. But anyway, I grew up knowing where guns were and knowing that they were for, they were meant for certain reasons, and that I wasn't supposed to touch them. And guess what? I never touched them. I never, ever, ever touched them. I haven't touched a gun to this day. I was supposed to go gun range shooting a few weeks ago, and I never did because of certain reasons. I ended up having different plans. But I really do want to go gun range shooting and learn how to shoot guns, because I think it's good for self-defense. But anyway, I think if you grow up, your parents teach you that they're not toys, that they're for self-defense, they're for survival, they're for hunting or whatever, that's what makes a difference. It's all about parenting, and the state has no point of being into parenting. And I mean, that's when natural selection comes in. I mean, did you ever learn about natural selection? You learn about Darwinism and natural selection, that the best of the best is what reproduces and what goes on. And so all these laws and regulations just keep stupid people reproducing.
Right.
Right. And I'm so sorry to say that. It may sound really, 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 really heartless, and I'm not trying to be heartless, because I have a really big heart and I care about people. But I mean, you keep people that don't understand the dangers of guns reproducing, and then you get more people that keep reproducing that don't understand the dangers of guns. And that's just natural selection. Well, and when you start interfering with natural selection, you get stupid people.
Right. But I think, too, if you bring up a child to not respect guns when you have them, and then they have children that don't inform their children to respect guns, it may not be because they're stupid. It's just because they're lazy and don't want to take the time. And mm-hmm. I think that's the key of it. You know, I mean, you got smart people that are stupid. I mean, on certain things.
Yes, you definitely have smart people that are just stupid, right, when it comes to certain aspects.
Right.
And so. I completely agree with that. I mean, you have to teach this stuff. And I mean, it's totally individual. And I mean, you can't stop people from doing bad things. I mean, if you're going to be the land of the free, and we have this constitutional right that we have the right to bear arms, you can't take that away from people. You definitely can't. And the right to bear arms means anything when it comes to arms. And you can't take that away from people based on the fact that somebody might do something, that it's a possibility that somebody might do something with that right to bear arms. You can't take that liberty, that right, from another individual because another individual might misuse it. Mm-hmm. And it's just a hard concept for people to grasp onto, that there are bad people in the world, but you can't stop bad people from doing bad things, no matter how many gun laws you put in place. Criminals, people that misuse guns, people that illegally purchase guns, are going to purchase and use them illegally, no matter what laws you put in place. Those people, there's a black market. When you ban things, that creates a black market. We have created a black market on tobacco because we've raised the taxes on it so high. And so when you raise taxes and create bans on certain products, you create a black market. And that not only increases the availability to people, it increases the crime rate, because there's risk involved in the black market. There's extreme risk because it's illegal. And then that increases the murder rate. And it creates all these problems. The black market is not good to have. We should just have guns legally available to people that can go through the certain process to obtain those. And just banning things left and right does not make it safer at all, because those people that are going to get their hands on them, that want to get their hands on these things, are going to get their hands on these things no matter what. And that's, I should really get into this piece that I have. I keep getting off on a tangent. So I have some comments from a dedicated follower. Hang on. Oh, I have a comment from said follower that says, ban the guns and they'll use a knife, like London. Ban the guns and they'll use a baseball bat, banned in NYC. Ban the baseball bat and they'll use a rock. The issue is criminal, not the tool. That's what this person that just said that. I actually have your comments here on paper. You just commented a whole bunch of stuff. So anyway, I have some great comments from this guy named Carl. He's been persistently commenting on things, sending me links, sending me content, and I absolutely love it. You send me so much that I have to weed through it and find out what I can use in each show. It's really, really great. So I copy and pasted some stuff here. He says, sorry, I'm long-winded. No, it's great. It's great. I really appreciate it. So anyway, he says, you mentioned the next show might cover the Texas shooting. I've stayed away from the media on that event this time, but in the past, I have heavily looked into statistics on violence, gun deaths, types of gun use, gun laws, etc. You might find it interesting to know that gun violence has only been on a steady downward trend since several decades. And I've looked into this and it is correct. You might find it interesting to know that gun violence has been on a steady downward trend for... Oh, I just read that. Sorry. In a real sense, we have been winning the battle against gun violence, even as the numbers of guns in private hands has increased dramatically. Recently, there has been an uptick in violence, which seems to have coincided roughly with the use of the BLM movement. Though I don't say that correlation means causation, but personally, I feel that the BLM movement has been more detrimental than helpful to our societal well-being, but I digress. You might find it interesting to look up information on gun laws and gun deaths in Wyoming. Also note that much of the media push about gun deaths and added gun control includes suicide by guns. Okay, so let's go there. So, all this gun violence, we see this huge spike in it. Huge, huge, huge spike in it. A lot of it includes suicide. A lot of it includes suicide.
Is the number one. I think it's 75% of all gun deaths are suicides.
And they include this. And so I remember reading through this, and he gives a little bit of statistics here that I've looked into. He goes, these numbers are rough, and I encourage you to do your own research, which I have, as you don't want to hang your hat on what some guy on Facebook posted, LOL. You're a great reference for content, actually. I look into every single piece that this guy posts, and I end up using a lot of it because a lot of it is reliable. And so anyway, he says, but I think you'll find the following figures relatively accurate, which I did. And he goes, there are approximately 30,000 deaths by guns each year, and in parentheses, and dropping. Approximately 20,000 are by suicide. So there's 30,000. 20,000 are by suicide, so that leaves you with 10,000. On the remaining 10,000, about 2/3 are criminal deaths, mostly gang violence. This is a hard stat to track down, But if you look for information on the percentage of murders where the victim is a criminal, that gets you the vicinity. That leaves about 3,000 that include deaths by police, accidents, murders that are not the usual crime element, etc. And it includes mass shootings as deaths. Despite the recent prevalence of mass shootings in the news, they are still relatively rare outliers. Which is true. So, something that came up to, not even like came up to me, like I heard about the shooting today. And I'm like, how are we having this other mass shooting? We just had one last week. Like, there's something going on here. But, you know, you have ups and you have downs. I mean, nothing is going to stay persistent. When you have guns, there's going to be periods of violence and there's going to be periods of peace. And it's the same as the economy. You're going to have ups and downs and ups and downs. It doesn't go straight. And that's what happens when you take a society and give them freedom. And you just have to protect yourself the best way that you can. I'm really not trying to sound heartless. That's not what I'm trying to say. It's just that you have ups and downs in every single aspect, whether it's the economy, whether it's about gun violence, whether it's about suicide, whether it's about X, Y, or Z, you're going to have ups and downs. And right now, we are experiencing an up. And throughout history, there have been ups and downs of gun violence. And right now, we have an up. And eventually, it's going to go down. And what we have to do right now is protect ourselves from the upward spiral that we're going through. And I know it sucks. It sounds so bad, and that it sucks. So anyway, where were we here? When you look for statistics to show if the numbers of mass shootings are on the rise or not, the data is inconsistent enough that it's hard to know for sure, though it appears there might be a recent increase. People say they didn't used to happen so often, but when you look at the actual history events, the incidence level has always been low, and it has had spikes as lulls, just as I was saying. It goes up and it goes down. And through history, through every single aspect of history that you look at, not even just violence, you look at the expansion of empires, you look at violence, you look at mercantilism, you look at all sorts of empire issues, you go through ups and downs of just every single thing, and nothing is stagnant. Everything changes, and apparently that's what people fear. People fear change. So anyway, when you look at the actual history of events, the incidence level has always been low and has had spikes and lulls. Excluding the suicides, the vast majority of gun deaths take place with an illegal gun, i.e., it's not the law-abiding gun owners causing the problem. More gun laws affect the law-abiding gun owners and not the people that are using the illegal guns, so more gun laws can have little impact on the violence, which is where I come into play. More gun laws do not affect the problem. More gun laws just stop people that abide the law from doing what they like to do, because bad people are going to do bad things regardless of what law is in place. Let's see here. Hang on. I have a comment. Somebody is live. And I don't know who it is. But somebody is live if I want to add something.
You can call, too.
I can't look at a different live video while I'm live. But respect is the answer to all evil. That's something that somebody just commented. My grandmother actually just commented, and I appreciate all of her her input, because her and I are like the same kind of people, which is actually really interesting. Which is where I come into that the more you put in laws into place, it doesn't stop criminals from disobeying the law, because criminals are going to disobey the law no matter what the law says. You're not going to stop somebody from speeding or texting and driving if you tell them they can't do it. You say don't text and drive, the people that are going to text and drive are still going to text and drive. Laws don't stop criminals. Laws don't stop criminals. So these laws, these new regulations you're putting into place with gun control, are just hurting law-abiding citizens.
You're right.
And so, I mean, you're going to have bad people no matter what. And so you need to protect yourself against those people. I'm sorry. There's no matter what laws you put into place, there's going to be school shootings. There's going to be bad things that happen. And maybe you decide to take your kids out of public school. Maybe that's what you do. I'm not telling you what the right thing is to do. I really don't have an answer for that. But I'm telling you that no matter what laws you put into place, it's not going to stop bad people from doing bad things. And that's just the brutally honest point of the subject.
Well, you know, the thing is, too, is that a lot of bad things happened for a long time, but the news never reported it. We didn't have the internet, mm-hmm. and things just didn't get reported like they do today. Bad things have always happened. And, you know, today it's just all over the place instantly.
Yes, I remember last week, instantly, I saw about the Texas shooting. And, you know, it kind of sickens me that these mass shootings get instant live Facebook feeds about them. And they're interviewing people on the spot that have just evacuated the place, interviewing students that have just evacuated the place. And these emotions, these things that they're saying about them, are all based on emotion. These words that come out of these people, they don't have time to think about it. They don't have time to evaluate the situation. It's all based on emotion. And I do have an article here that goes against everything I'm saying, that says that I'm talking based on emotion, but... I'd like to say that they're talking based on emotion. If we get there, we get there. If not, it's next week. But you guys know how I feel about gun control. So anyway.
Well, you know, when you say that, it's you know, I mean, it really is tough. Everybody's got a camera on them. You know, your cell phone's a camera, so what's the first thing they do? They take videos of kids running out of school and the crazy time, instead of when everybody's out and they're starting to, you know, be interviewed after a while. They're getting, like you said, they're getting people
it's
crying.
It's all about instant gratification.
Yep.
And I mean, I'm victim to instant gratification. I come from the era of instant spell check. I know what instant gratification is. Wait, I have microwaves that do things in like 3 seconds. I have spell check that does it in literally the blink of an eye. I mean, I get that. But like, these Facebook live feeds of school shootings, that shouldn't be happening. I shouldn't be logging into Facebook and see Facebook Live feeding in this school shooting, all the kids evacuating from it. No, get the facts. Please get the facts and get them to me.
Right.
Don't just show me what's happening. Get me the facts.
And what happens then? They set up the police and the principal set up a command center, and all day long, that's all they talk about. They have no clue on why it happened or anything of the background of the person that did the shooting. They're just talking. They're babbling on. Now, more information will come out later. We'll have another press conference in an hour and a half or something like that. And it goes on for days.
And the Texas shooting brings back to the Big Pharma episode that I had. The Texas shooter was on Ritalin, believe it or not. And the pharmacy company is trying to dispute that, which is a different article that I have here that goes against me.
But yeah, you did a show on.
I did do a show about Big Pharma and how that's it's a correlation to these school shootings, about how these kids have been drugged since they were little, very, very, very little. And now we expect them to be normal people. But, I mean, one of the biggest side effects of this is homicide.
That's it.
So, anyway, going on here. Let's see. Okay, so excluding the suicides, the vast majority of gun deaths take place within illegal. Oh, I already read that. Okay, you will also find out that when you subtract the subtract out the suicides and look at the gun deaths by state, almost all of the gun violence is taking place in a few big cities. Rural America, which is where many, if not most, of the gun ownership takes place, is particularly safe. Mm-hmm. So, according to research, rural America, people who live in rural areas, are the people that own the most guns. And that is not where the most gun violence happens. So you have urban areas that have less gun ownership. And that is where the most gun violence happens.
Well, you have Chicago, who has the toughest gun laws in the country.
And they have the most gun violence. They have the highest
death rate of from guns.
Yes.
And so what does that go to show you? Something I said before. Laws do not necessarily create a lessening of an evil. And middle America, rural America, what do they use the guns for? Hunting,
surviving,
right?
Making a living.
Yep.
Because these people that have guns in rural America may shoot meat that they end up selling. Mm-hmm. It could be either for survival or for making a living. It could be for selling to other people. And so the majority of people that own guns are not using it for violent means. And it's just that media is deciding now to cover violent means of gun ownership. Just now. And so we all of a sudden believe that there's this spike in gun violence. Really, there's not. You look at all the charts and there's ups and downs and ups and downs. And that's what happens with anything. Even like you look at the economy, there's ups and downs and ups and downs of the economy. You're going to have that no matter what aspect you're looking at. What must go up must go down. What goes down goes up. And I mean, that's just what happens. You can't have stagnancy. You cannot have that. And having rights comes with people abusing those rights. And I'm not saying that's a good thing, but I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying that we all have certain rights, and we have a country based on a constitution, and we have those constitutional rights, and they should not be infringed. And infringing them based on the possibility that somebody might misuse them is completely wrong, because we are allowed those rights, and the people that misuse them, they get treated as such.
Well, you know, you can make a correlation here, too. Alcohol, right? If you drink too much and you get in a car, you can kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean that we should do away with all cars because it has a potential to kill people?
Right, or right, right, right.
Ban alcohol again because that way nobody will get in a car and kill a person because they drank too much? There's no right there. I mean, it's a matter of abusing
your rights.
Product and abusing your right to drink and nobody should get behind a wheel. If you do, that's your fault. It's not my fault. So why should I be punished for what you do when you drink and drive if you kill somebody? But I mean, nobody ever talks about that, you know?
And I mean, we saw Prohibition. You look back in history, you look at Prohibition, and you look at all the people that used to drink. Prohibition did nothing. Did absolutely nothing.
Well, it did one thing. It made crooks rich.
It made people criminals. It created a black market. And it made people criminals. And it locked innocent people up for doing things that they wanted to do with their own body for no reason. Which I think things like this gets into a whole nother topic. I have a whole episode coming for you guys about the war on drugs and about how it's completely wrong, about how if you do something to your own body, that's your own choice, as long as you're not violently harming other people. If you're not violating the non-aggression principle, you are completely okay to do whatever you want with your own body. That's up to you. But either way, the Prohibition era, we look at that. What did prohibiting alcohol do? Absolutely nothing. People were still drinking alcohol. It just made people criminals. It made innocent citizens criminals. And it's absolutely wrong that, okay, you go out to the, today, you go out to the bar and you have a beer. Back then when Prohibition was in, you would have been a criminal. Mm-hmm. A criminal. And just think about that. We're doing that to people who decide to sit home in their house and maybe smoke a little joint, and they're a criminal because they're using an illegal substance. Because we have a prohibition, the government has a monopoly on that substance because they decide what they put in their own body. And it's absolutely wrong. If you're not violating the non-aggression principle, you should not be a criminal. And I firmly stick to that. You can decide what you do with your own body. It may not be good for you, but who am I to tell you what you do?
And you're doing it to yourself. You're not doing it to anybody else.
Exactly. If you're not violating the non-aggression principle, that's on you. That's on you. If you want to live that way, that's on you. I'm sorry. If you want to be an alcoholic, that's on you. It's not my fault. If you're not harming my life in any way, what is that to me? That's totally on you. If you decide to get high all the time on heroin, that's completely on you. If you're not harming anybody, you're not a criminal. If you're sitting at home doing it to yourself, that's completely on you.
You may be killing yourself, but
yes,
again,
this is on you. And it's not hurting anybody else. And yes, it may emotionally hurt your family members, but again, that's on you. It's completely your choice. It's your freedom. And that's what having a free society and a free country is all about. And a lot of people, when I say, like, legalizing drugs is the right thing to do, they're like, oh, what about having all these heroin people on the street? And I'm like, well, if heroin was legal tomorrow, would you go out and do heroin? No, you wouldn't. The people that are already doing it would still be doing it, and the people that aren't would do it.
That's right.
So you're not increasing the use of drugs. You're continuing the amount of people that use it. And it's just their own choice. And as long as they're not harming anyone else, they're not a criminal. If they start harming other people, they're a criminal and they get taken care of as so. And so that's how that goes. And anyway, that's how gun laws goes. Gun laws go. You have rights to bear arms as long as you're not infringing on the liberty and rights of other individuals. And when you do so, you get taken care of as so. And I can't believe that. I mean, I absolutely can believe that people are arguing against this. I do have an article. I hope I brought it with me. Let's see here. I brought an article, or I thought I brought an article about gun control, about how it's super emotional, about how us libertarians are emotionally advocating for the rights to guns. Here we go. I found it. So it says, Santa Fe school shooting, Ritalin, and the NRA's culture of convenient excuses. Okay. It's Ritalin. It's a culture of death. It's not enough religion. Too many violent video games. Those, we're told, are the things causing America's almost arithmetic school shootings. Thus, we're grappled with Friday slaughter of 10 people in high school Santa Fe, Texas. Retired Lieutenant Oliver North, the incoming president of the National Rifle Association, said on Fox News Sunday, which I don't really like Fox News anyway. Anyway, the problem... I don't listen to mainstream news. I get all my news from alternative news sources. Okay. Just because I believe every mainstream news media feeds their own cycle of what they believe in are pushed to promote. So I get everything from alternative news sources. I try not to listen to mainstream. But anyway, I can agree that now and then I do find some things from mainstream that I'm like, oh yeah, they're promoting something, which actually I saw from a Fox News source the other day, which I really don't like Fox News. I try not to sort them, but they did share something on Venezuela and the depletion of their society because of socialism. And it's something I've been saying for a while now, and that I've heard so many people saying, and I'm glad that they brought that up. I'm so glad that they finally brought that up, but it took them a while. It did take them a while. But anyway, that's another topic. So anyway, the problem that we've got is we're trying, like the Dickens, to treat the symptom without treating the disease. And the disease in this case isn't the Second Amendment. The disease is the youngsters who are steeped into a culture of violence. They've been drugged in many cases. Nearly all of the perceptions are male, and they're young teenagers in most cases. And they've come through a culture where violence is commonplace. All we need to do is turn on TV, go to a movie. If you look at what has happened to young people, many of these young boys have been on Ritalin since they were in kindergarten. Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick said on ABC This Week, "We have devaluated life, whether it is through abortion, whether it's to break up a family, through violent movies, in particular the violent video games, which now sell movies and music. But we have to look at our culture of violence, just our violent society, our Facebook, our Twitter, the bullying of adults and adults and children on children. We have to look at ourselves. It's not about the guns, it's about us." So the source goes on to talk about the fact that they at first seem to be on my side. And then they all of a sudden say, no, you're thinking about emotions, that it's about the guns, and they start saying that yes, we have violent video games, but other countries have violent video games too, and they have less gun violence. And so yes, I'm like, yes, see, you're proving my point that violent video games don't mean anything, abortion doesn't mean anything. And then they go on to say, but the conservatives are saying that it's not about guns, but it really is. And so then he goes on to change his situation here where he says that we have an unsurmountable amount of guns in the hands of owners, and how we have the most owned guns by people than any country, and so that has to be the correlation to gun violence. And I mean, I just don't think so, because the amount of people that have guns legally are not criminals. They're not doing criminal acts. You're putting, like I said, you're putting regulations and laws in, and you're really only hurting the people that get guns legally. People that are going to get guns illegally are going to get them whether or not you have guns. Okay. So, I know I spent a lot of time on gun control, and I really, really, really didn't mean to do that, because I have done that before. I meant to get to socialism in youth, and I definitely meant to get to growing sunflowers, because I learned a lot about sunflowers this week, and I wanted to get to some kind of positivity. So sunflowers are going to have to wait till next week, but I learned this week how to grow them super, super tall, and like taller than me. I'm like 4'11 and a half. So like these sunflowers are like 18 feet tall.
Wow.
And so like I would need a ladder. And so sunflowers are my favorite flower, and they make me super, super happy. But I spent a lot of time on a topic that I'm really, really passionate about, and I'm kind of not sorry, because I'm passionate about it, and I hope all of you are. And I meant to actually talk about housing. That's what I wanted to knock your socks off with. That's what I talked about on my Facebook page. And I didn't even get to it, because I spent so much time on gun control. But hopefully next time I talk about housing, and how public housing hurts the housing community and rent.
Housing and sunflowers. I want to hear that one.
Housing and sunflowers.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that those are two really good topics, especially the sunflower. That's interesting.
You know. Yeah, I learned a lot this week on sunflowers, and I'm really sad that I didn't get to share it with you guys. But anyway, I got another listener from Korea this week. I don't know who you are, but welcome. And I'm growing listeners in the U.S., and it's great. I'm about halfway through the states. I'm at 25 states, so
that's excellent.
25 more to go.
That's excellent.
And we just keep going, and I'm really sorry I didn't get to all the content, but I mean, that tells you that it's a good show, that we just kept going through other content, and hopefully next week we get through this housing thing, because it just came on me today, and I was like, oh no, I have to get it to you guys. So anyway, I didn't get it to you guys.
Hawaii may be a little hard to get with all the volcano action.
Oh, I know. They've been on fire for like a month.
I know.
Hawaii. I keep seeing, oh, they're still on fire. I'm like, really? They've been on fire for like 3 weeks. But that's the risk you take living on a volcanic island.
Well, you know what? And that could be a topic also, is that we talk about the depletion of the ozone and climate change, and that volcano, when the lava hits the water, it gives off clouds of acid gas that travel and go into the atmosphere. So that's not man-made, that's Earth.
That's natural.
That's natural.
Natural.
So, and I will do this if we want to talk about this, or if you want to talk about it. I can find out how many volcanic eruptions there are in a year, and you'd be surprised.
There was a year that my dad remembers. I don't remember what year it was exactly, but he had a white summer where there was a volcanic eruption, and just the clouds went into the air, and there was ash everywhere. Yeah. He called it the white summer. There was just ash all summer everywhere. I have to ask him exactly what year it was.
Yeah.
But my dad was born in 57, so he's been around for a little while. And his parents were before that, obviously, so... Mm-hmm. He's been through a lot.
Well, that's, you know.
And anyway.
But he's wise.
He is wise. I get a lot of information from him. He's a great resource for me. And I get a lot of my beliefs from him, a lot of my libertarian beliefs. But anyway, I apologize for not getting through everything I wanted to this week. I'm sorry I was so passionate about gun control, but that's who I am. That's what I've been brought up on is the right to have guns. I've been brought up in a household that owned guns, and I always knew not to touch them. And it's just so hard to give up my right to bear arms because it's my right. It's my constitutional right living in this country. And that's why we're here, because the people that moved here were told in England that they had to confiscate their guns. And we moved here and created colonies that we could have our own guns. We could protect ourselves against a tyrannical government, and that's exactly what's happening right now. And so it's just so hard for me to not get off that topic, especially with all the recent school shootings. And so again, I appreciate you guys for listening, and I am really excited to talk to you next week about this housing issue, because I really wanted to talk to you about it this week, but it's like a 34-page article.
And I'm glad you lost your hiccups.
I am glad I lost my hiccups. I had terrible hiccups. So, thank you for coming in this week. I love you all, guys.